I do have more freedoms, but that's also relative because your compersion allows for so much more than mine does. So it's like you're actually not out there doing a bunch of this hard work on that side of things, as where for me, it's a lot of hard work and a lot of emotional stuff that I have to get through. My name is Abby, and I'm the voice behind the Evolving Love Project. In this podcast, my husband and I deep dive into the topics of non-monogamy and polyamory, drawing from our experiences of being consensually non-monogamous for almost a decade.
And my name is Liam. Whether you're monogamous, polyamorous, curious, or anything in between, we invite you to join us for this conversation.
Let's begin. So for this premium episode of our podcast, I decided to put out an Ask Me Anything, an anonymous one.
Yes.
The anonymous ones are fantastic. They're really, really good. And I feel like people share a little bit more about where they're at. Also, I get some really funny ones as well.
You get some wild ones.
I get some wild ones.
Yes.
Which is fun. We won't talk about those on this episode, but we'll throw in a few.
Yeah, there'll be a few little spicy ones. But I thought I'd give a brief overview of some of the questions that have come in.
Mm-hmm.
So you put this up last night, and over the course of the day, as different time zones wake up and different listeners from America might be waking up and submitting their anonymous questions, we've had a gentle stream. So we've chosen our favorites. We have questions on vetoes and partners. We have questions on how we handle different desires, if we both have different desires. We had a question around therapy for non-monogamous couples, which was really interesting. A great question around how we deal with specific types of negative backlash. And we had a really beautiful question that was quite involved. It was a two-parter. It was such an involved question that they had to submit two different questions, but it was advice for opening up when you have a baby on the way and you don't already have an open relationship and you haven't told your partner about whether you want to have an open relationship or not, which is fascinating. And then lastly, there was a question which I did find humorous, which we may or may not address, and that was, how is Liam's erection? So we're dealing with the big questions here today. And as you said, this is a premium episode for our premium subscribers. If you are listening on the free podcast feed, you'll be getting just a snippet of this episode. And if you are interested in listening to the full episode and hearing all of our musings, you can sign up at the Substack over at evolvingloveproject.substack.com.
And thank you so much to all of our subscribers. It really means so much. Honestly, every time I get the notification that there's a new paid subscriber, it just means everything to me and is like so motivating to just continue on, because we're having a blast and it's really fun to share a little bit more deeply and intimately as well, which is what we tend to do, I think. On the premium episodes.
Yeah, it feels like there's a little bit of, it feels like we're in the vault with our premium subscribers as opposed to anyone. If my mum's friends, I guess they could set up fake email accounts to then subscribe as paid subscribers. But the chances of that happening are slightly fewer.
Okay, so should we jump straight into it?
Let's do it.
Okay, I'm going to read this first one. Did non-monogamy get more difficult when you became a parent, or did it just become a different dynamic and not necessarily more difficult?
Did non-monogamy become more difficult? I would say that I think it did become more difficult. Definitely. I think logistically it became more difficult. I would say for me there was more things to emotionally think about when we are non-monogamous and being parents. Because when we didn't have a child, I felt like all we had to take into account were each other. But now we have this whole other kind of layer of complication in terms of logistics. Whether that makes us, I think it did make it more difficult. What do you think?
Well, of course, when you have a child, when you have children, your life changes drastically, as it should, as it does. So yeah, of course it was a big change. The biggest thing for me was the relationship with time and my awareness around time. When you become a parent, you just don't sort of own your time in the same way that you did before. Everything happens in these small little containers that you get. Look, I wouldn't say that the non-monogamy became more emotionally difficult for us. I don't think that at all. I feel like we knew that coming into parenthood, it would be, you know, incredibly baby-focused time, which we had open arms for. But yeah, as you said, just like the logistics, I think for me as a woman and a mother, non-monogamy, just the fact that I was a non-monogamous person really sort of kept me in touch with myself and my own sexuality, even if I wasn't necessarily practicing non-monogamy. So, you know, I felt like there would be, you know, it wasn't all, it, not everything was kind of closed down. You know, there would be a time where, you know, you and I would go to an event together in the future that was maybe a sexy event, or that we might go on a date with somebody together and to flirt with those ideas and kind of know that that was somewhere in the distance. I didn't know how far away it was or how close, you know, how soon it would happen, but I knew that it was there. And so I think that that was actually incredibly helpful, you know, during my early parenting times as well. But you know, I do know that there can be some parents who, you know, when they do go through that big shift of becoming a parent, it can just sort of be like, well, this is it now. Like, yeah. I'm just so...
All the fun's over.
Like, I'm so in it. The fun's over. Like, you know, everything now is about the kids in this, you know, really intense way, and everybody's really tired and all of that. And of course, it's a tiring time. But yeah, I don't think that non-monogamy became more difficult, but of course it's just the logistics, because it just wasn't really a priority. I wasn't out searching for non-monogamy. I was at home with my child, breastfeeding, cuddling, co-sleeping, eating nourishing foods, and just really honoring that chapter of where I was. I didn't want to be anywhere else necessarily. I was just so happy in those moments. And then as baby grows and is able to have a little bit more, you know, time with you or whatever, you know, we're a little bit more open to going on a date. So I don't know if it was that difficult.
Well, I guess it depends on what you view as the kind of premise of the question. Like, is non-monogamy more difficult? Kind of assumes that, is non-monogamy harder to do in the sense of either logistically or emotionally? So for us, it wasn't emotionally harder to do, but certainly logistically, it was more difficult to do, 100%. But then also, it's interesting to think about the word difficult, because just because something's difficult doesn't mean you don't enjoy it more when it's more difficult to come by. Because I feel like non-monogamy for us, when we didn't have a kid, we could just like be loosey-goosey, you know, especially when we're living in a big city and there was lots of different things happening. Like, it wasn't difficult to get into non-monogamous situations, but it doesn't mean that just because it wasn't difficult, we enjoyed it more than we do now. I would say in some ways, the fact that for me, logistically, it does feel more difficult, and emotionally it feels more difficult because there's lots of different things to have to balance, whereas before we didn't. Like, I actually enjoy it probably more now, even though the amount of times that we're being non-monogamous is drastically less than maybe, you know, 5 years ago when we were in New York just, you know, living our wildest lives.
It does feel like more of a treat now when things fall into alignment and we can have those experiences. Absolutely. But, you know, hearing you say that, I do feel like it's similar to any type of passion that you might have, or your own hobby, or your own alone time. Or, you know, it's like if somebody loves going to their 2-hour yoga class every morning at 6 a.m. It's like, well, when you become a parent, is that going to be more difficult? It's like, well, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, of course, but I still love it, and I still go, you know, you still go when you can. You have that appreciation.
Yeah. So do you think that we've gone from you responding that it isn't more difficult to being non-monogamous, which is what the question was about, to maybe now you think that you can see the difficulty?
Look, I don't like to have a, I don't, I don't like to have a set answer. I'm just discussing it. Like, yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I'm just my thoughts around it. I'm just thinking about it and I'm processing it. Mm. You know me, I'm one of those, what is it? We heard it on Multiamory one time. It was like, are you a chewer or a spewer or something? Like,
oh, I loved that.
You know, and I'm like, I've got to talk something out to like fully process it. But talking about taking things.
I think
things,
we figured out you're a spewer.
I'm a spewer.
And I'm a chewer.
You're a chewer and I'm a spewer. So I like to just process it.
And I think about everything internally before having the discussion. Mm. Whereas you like to have the discussion and then sometimes think about it after.
Mm, I know. I'm working on that. I'm a work in progress.
Look, we all are.
We all are. Actually, hearing you say that when we were in New York or, you know, before we had kids, we had that freedom. We almost kind of took things for granted. Mm. You know, I remember this time where you and I were at this like incredible sexy party. It was a Christmas party. It was actually at Hacienda in Brooklyn, Hacienda Villa. Which came to my mind because I read an article about it the other day and yeah, we could discuss that at a different point. But basically, we were at this party and it was like such an amazing party. There was so much going on.
I remember there was a Christmas tree and Polaroids and we were taking hot photos on the Polaroids and then putting it up on the Christmas tree. Do you remember that?
Oh, they had an amazing setup. Yeah, it was like Christmas tree, Polaroids. There was like a photo room. There was like the downstairs thing. We had plenty of friends there. We were so just, we had our outfits. Do you remember I wore that gold chainy?
Oh, I remember.
Like whatever was that about? That was such an outfit.
That was good. What did I wear?
I
think I phoned it in. I'm not going to lie. I think I phoned it in.
I think, look, you're not
Maybe
really
I wore a
costume.
Red lacy shirt, I think. I think I've still got it. I think it's like right behind me in a closet somewhere.
Oh, yeah. You wore that beautiful maroon lacy shirt and we sort of like Christmased it up a bit. I mean, we're not really costume people, but it was so much fun. But I remember we socialized with all of our friends and then it came to midnight. We're at this incredible party. Everything's kicking off. There's like 200 people there. It is a major vibe.
Mm.
We had opportunities to connect with different people. We had like a few pre-discussed things. And then we looked around the playroom and I remember you looked at me and you were just like, I'm just like ready to go home now.
Well, it's even more than that. I said, I think we should have a baby.
You did.
Yeah. And then I was like, if I can be in a room like this and my instinct is like, no, I'm not too into it. I was like, maybe it's time to switch modes.
Well, we had just started talking about falling pregnant.
Well, I think we'd talked about it for a while at that point.
Well, I mean, we had for years, but I think we had just started talking about maybe we would consider trying.
And that was the moment.
And that was, yeah.
In a wild party in Bushwick.
So we left and then I remember a few years later, you know, thinking like it was so hard for us to get to things and organize and, you know, that was such a great party. You know, we looked at each other and I was like, remember when we just like walked out of that amazing party?
Yeah.
Like when you do that, like you like definitely
I mean,
take it for granted.
You would feel I would feel regret if I felt like I was never going to be in that situation again. But luckily for us, it wasn't a one and done chance to be in such an environment.
For sure.
So yeah, I think at the time I also knew that as well. I wasn't like, this is the one thing, you know, we've built up for years as part of our relationship. Mm. Oh, this is a bucket list thing and then we're going to do it and then we're never going to do it again.
Mm.
It was like, oh, you know, we could come back next week.
Mm.
You know, it's not really,
no.
It didn't really feel like the only chance. But looping back to the question, so the difficulty before or after, I've had conversations with some of our friends, and I'm thinking about one amazing couple in particular who are absolute legends. They started to actively talk about non-monogamy and different things before they got pregnant. And then I remember having a chat with one of the with the lady in the couple. And she was saying, oh, you know, like, should we do non-monogamous things before we get pregnant or should we just get pregnant because we want to get pregnant? And my advice was, you should do a bunch of non-monogamous things before you get pregnant.
Mm.
And amazingly, they got pregnant.
Mm.
without even having a chance to do non-monogamous things. But I feel like that is usually my advice, is if you can, explore when you don't have all the complications of everything, which does speak to that question of, is it more difficult to be non-monogamous after you've had kids? And I think, especially when you're exploring it initially, you know, there's a lot of emotional terrain to have to cross to have a really positive experience. And if you've got a 6-month-old screaming at you, those conversations might be trickier to discuss. So yeah, that's what I would say about that question. It's a great question.
It is a great question for sure. You want to have that time, like the day after a date or something as well, to just be together, to unpack, to just, you know, have those walks, or to just have that time, have that cup of tea where you're not going to be interrupted and you can just really discuss whatever may have come up. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, the next question. Do either of you, whether directly or indirectly, ever veto a partner for the other?
Why are you looking at me like that?
Well, I was asking the question, so I get to look at you like that. I can't answer the question that I ask as well. And you got to ask the last one, so that's only fair.
Okay, look, I'm about being honest. I have had times in our non-monogamous journey where I have
to keep on listening to this premium episode of the Evolving Love podcast. You can sign up to our premium subscriber feed at evolvingloveproject.substack.com.
Paid subscribers receive 2 extra podcast episodes each month and access to my full writing archive. So if you would like to gain exclusive access, you can sign up at the link in the show notes or at evolvingloveproject.substack.com.